you, Rob, and thank you for inviting me. I hope I can enlighten you. I never really meant to do what I do. I spent 4.5 years at Central St. Martin's studying to become a graphic designer, believing the commercial road was the only way to travel. But then my work was never very commercial, and for some reason, unknown to myself, I didn't really mind or try to change it. In my third year, my tutor, Jeff Fowle, pointed out to me the art form of artist books, as I kept solving projects in the form of books. But at this point, I didn't actually know how to make a proper book. My attempts would usually involve masking tape, metal rings, or other forms of improvised, made-up bindings. I did then begin to investigate the field of artist books a little, though in a way I didn't want to know too much in case I subconsciously would start copying others' work. I approached the tutor, Douglas Bevin, who taught bookbinding, though only to the illustrators, and got him to show me how to bind a proper book during a few lunch hours. I went on to produce a series of 10 books for my final show, and my first bound books are these. For my MA show at CSM, I later produced more books and joined evening classes in bookbinding to perfect my skill, as I believe it's important to know the rules to be able to break them, and they did need to be broken. I believe a book structure doesn't need to be in the form of a traditional codex. It only needs to suit the theme of the content. This is where I've used and enjoy a DIY publishing approach. I have been free to rely on myself without worrying about what is possible for somebody else to produce or what they'll charge me to have it done. All I need to worry about are my own skills. If I can do it, then it's possible, and it may be hard work, but it will be possible. That is why I have chosen to do my own publishing. Mass production could be nice, but if your financial means aren't unlimited and you still want to see your ideas available to more than one person, then DIY self-publishing seems to me to be the way forward. Obviously, a lot has happened to publishing possibilities in the last 10 years, such as print on demand, books on demand, and high street digital printing of affordable small-run editions. All these mean less hard work for the individual, but with most of my work, these options are still not quite enough. Though I must say robot cutters and laser cutters are beginning to appeal to me more and more. Happily, I've been invited for a July residency at the University of West England in Bristol to use their laser cutter facilities. So how do I approach it? I certainly don't use a lot of high-tech equipment beyond my Mac, scanner, and inkjet printer. Pretty standard equipment for many people. I don't have a press, guillotine, or even a dedicated working space. My book press looks like this. My main tools are these. And my most advanced manual printing equipment is this. Occasionally mixed with letterpress, all leading to DIY printing and binding. One of my first editions was 6 degrees of separation, based on an idea that everyone is connected to a stranger via 6 connections. A topic introduced during my MA course. To me, this needed a structure which would basically have no start or finish, suggesting endless connections. The shape of a circle seemed very useful, but what else to make use of? The project began by taking a trip around the circle line with an audio recorder, recording as much as I could pick up of random conversations between passengers. On my return, I transcribed them. I then worked out on my never-ending book structure, beginning with the idea of a branching out family tree. A few mock-ups followed, using my usual tape and scrap paper, and I then came up with these. The text was first written on by hand, then laid out in freehand, only for me to discover that my A3 printer couldn't print on a 2 meter long strip of paper that the piece needed. Then even the letterpress printing department at college were unable to accommodate it. So what to do? Well, I bought a rubber stamp printing kit and began to practice using it without the typical mess, making it work as I wanted it to make a cleaner print for all of the hundreds of letters needed. A month later, I had printed all 6 copies. Each design choice, even a successful one, can still create new challenges. The fragile structure you see here needed protective packaging of sorts, sympathetic in shape, so I developed these round boxes sealed with lids. In the end, completely unexpected, these lids became plastic ones, made using the college plastic molding machine. It is a good example of how these DIY adventures can lead to happy accidents. Even the technicians didn't know that wood and metal reacting differently to heat in the process would make some of the lids transparent and some opaque. The perfect touch for the embossed title on the lid. With a more recent book from 2006, Ambeck's Typographic Bestiary, the initial ideas came from playful sessions I used to have in the letterpress department at CSM. It was as if the wooden type was Lego. I would often go in the afternoon and find myself making up figures and creatures out of type. At that point, I initially thought to make them into an animation. But as anyone familiar with animation knows, it's very time-consuming. So the original prints went on the back burner for years, until one day I decided to put the creatures into a book based on an alphabet and expanded the idea to include great fun writing about their lives and habits. This bestiary is based on the idea of how early travelers would see new creatures and write from memory of what they'd just seen, mixing truth with imagination. There is a real value in having very personal banks of ideas. Two other linked editions also reveal how I have involved my process to embrace technology. In Boy Meets Girl from 2000, which was produced in an edition of 5, I had hand-drawn the outline to cut from on each page, but only after the books were bound. Each robot, one female and one male, faced each other at the center of the book. The format suggested the meeting of two robots when the edition closed. In 2003, this eventually suggested the obvious follow-up, Boy Met Girl, within which I began to embrace technology more for the purpose of making larger editions. These baby robots were designed based on shapes found on plugs and sockets of various kinds, making the designs and page-by-page layout on the computer this time meant an edition of 40 didn't feel too daunting, though they still needed to be hand-cut. So these additions represent a big leap for me in my production methods, but remain very much in the keeping with the original ideas. Today, I often teach graphic design students about the wonders of bookmaking. It seems a very popular activity, and I think they see it as a good way to retain control over as many aspects of a design process as possible. They like the opportunity to tie ideas and processes together at a relatively low cost and gain skills that they can carry on after college. Here are images of some student work from the University of the Creative Arts in Epsom, made during my recent workshop and currently exhibited in the campus library. They did it themselves. Meanwhile, my own work continues, including experiments with form, mixed processes, and narratives. Any questions?